Welcome to episode 6 of Your Hearth at Home. My name is Tara and I am so grateful that you are here. Today I am thrilled to be speaking with Tess Martin. She is an entrepreneur, coach, mama of 4, and an activator. Tess talks about how, sparked by the loss of a child, she came onto the path of living an extraordinary life, and what an extraordinary life actually means to her. She talks about getting out of her own way, investing in herself, and her mission to break through the ideologies that society places on us, especially those that are placed on mothers. Tess shares how she has nurtured herself through many states of upheaval throughout her journey thus far, and how you can apply these same principles on your path. I am so grateful to be able to share her amazing story with you in this space. I hope that you enjoy. Welcome, welcome back to Your Hearth at Home. I am so extremely grateful to have the amazing Tess Martin here joining me all the way from Australia. Thank you so much for being in this space with us today.
Thank you so much, Tara, for welcoming me with such open arms into the beautiful space and the community that you have created here. Every time I have the opportunity to be in your space, your heart at home just, it does, it truly feels like home. What you've created is magic.
Oh, that means a lot coming from you. I so appreciate it. As a beautiful cacao sister and one who has been extremely influential in my journey, I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate your time and energy in this space. So I'm so excited to have you here and to be a bridge for anybody who is looking to hear some of your story. As somebody who has overcome or worked through many different kinds of obstacles, I am just so excited to have your story in this space. And I would love for you just to kind of jump in and perhaps provide a bit of context, how you came towards the healing path, perhaps starting with pivotal moments or what kind of brought you into this space.
Thank you. Absolutely. So for a little context, to the beautiful souls who have been drawn to this podcast, I am a mother. I have 4 beautiful children that are here with me. And it was that initiation into motherhood where for the first time I truly felt like I had found such purpose. And at the time I was so young, it was 10 years ago now that, you know, the initial initiation took place. And at the time I didn't truly have the awareness or the understanding or the, you know, I absolutely had a reverence for that experience and the journey that is, you know, becoming from that maiden into that mother. I definitely had that now that I look back, but you know, are we ever truly, I suppose, going to understand the depths of that process? I don't know, but I look back now and I'm like, wow, I really didn't actually know. I didn't truly understand it. So I have a lot of reverence for that still to this day. I was only 20 years old when that began. And then my path to, I suppose, this journey of true discovery and exploration of who I was in this world, began at 21 when I had my daughter who passed away. She was born still at 34 weeks, and I remember, like, her birth was just so beautiful. There are not words there are no human words to describe that experience. This combination of such sorrow and grief that I feel only that of a mother who has lost a child can truly grasp. Also with the beauty of knowing how divinely perfect that moment was, and now knowing why it was so needed. But that was definitely my pivotal moment, where essentially what came to me in the hospital after I'd had her, after, you know, I'd had her, we returned to our little private room. And in sort of those 24 hours afterwards was this mantra that kept coming to me, that beautiful internal voice that was just kept saying over and over, like, who was I to live any less than an extraordinary life when she didn't even have the chance to take a breath? And it was, for me, that moment of realization of the beautiful fragility that is life, that is this human experience, and also how profound it can be if you allow yourself to step out of your own way. And that really was the catalyst for my journey. That was where I started to question everything, and I started to look at this perspective that I had of my life and ask, you know, what is this? But it's like, there has to be more to it than this. There has to be more than this. I was living a very, very, very typical Western life. I literally had a white picket fence with, you know, the house. And at that point we didn't have our dog, but we got our dog like a year and a half later. I had the house, the dog, the chickens, the cat. You know, it looked perfect from the outside, and it was beautiful. It was beautiful, but throughout my entire childhood, teenage years, you know, through university and all of those pieces, I had never taken a moment quite this deep, you know, that moment of presence, of actually looking around and asking myself that question of, like, you know, what is this all for? Surely there has to be more than this. There was a depth. I think after that experience of birthing my daughter, there was this yearning for a depth in life that I hadn't had before. And I think she opened me to that. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was definitely the pivotal moment for me.
So you say, getting out of your own way to experience something different. What did that look like for you?
For quite a few years, that from the outside, that would have looked very confusing for people. Essentially, I spent many years exploring and experimenting with so many different things. I jumped into multiple businesses. I created multiple startups. I dove into things like integrative nutrition. I went down this path of, you know, again, just looking at the world around me, and having been brought up in a household where, you know, my father was quite environmentally aware, you know, and I started to really bring that in. And again, just, I suppose, this understanding of the earth that we lived on and how much that had been ignored by society. And I thought, well, yeah, again, it's, you know, I can do something about this. You know, I can educate people. Really, people just need education. So, you know, I went down paths with that, again, creating startups and movements that focused on that. But none of it truly met that depth, like I said, that I was seeking. Or if I was focusing on one thing, it felt like I was suppressing or not using the full spectrum of what I felt I had to give. So for many years, that looked like me just jumping from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and kind of becoming like this jack of all trades, master of none, essentially. And it was fun. It was great. Like, this is, again, now I look back and I think of, you know, I love him or hate him. I do think of Gary Vee a lot, where he's like, your 20s are for just experimenting. Like, get in there, get your hands dirty and just try stuff. Like, you don't know what's out there unless you try it. And I think for me, getting out of my own way, that is what it looked like. It was being willing to try just about anything and everything, no matter what other people thought, no matter what other people said to me, no matter what other people's beliefs were. And some of those came from those that were, you know, perceivably closest to me at the time. But it was knowing, it was, again, just that deep internal voice, that deep internal knowing that this was all part, that I had to do this, that was all a part of the journey. So that's what it looked like for quite a few years.
Yeah. And so with these people close to you and not close, who may have had their own opinions about what you were doing, how did you manage that?
I think there is, again, from the, you know, sort of zooming back to the passing of my daughter for a moment, or using that to explain this right now, I think there's certainly a level of courage and strength and resilience to navigate something like that in your life as a woman and as a mother. And I feel that cultivating that level of courage and strength and resilience truly was what I held during that time when, you know, it was, and it's completely exactly, you know, these things are always perfect. And I simply just kept telling myself that, you know, this was for me, but it was also like a, you know, they don't understand what I'm trying to do. And I could try to explain it, but again, it always came back to this depth that I was yearning that just wasn't being fulfilled in the environments that I was in. And so for me, it was like, how do I say this? I could see that there was just no understanding of the bigger picture in those environments. And I felt at that time that I could see this bigger picture. And again, I was just willing to step out of my own way to try and find the path toward whatever that looked. I didn't even know what it looked like, but I could feel it was a feeling for me. It wasn't a vision. I couldn't see it, but it was a feeling. And that's what I was working towards. And I didn't, and again, when these things were being said to me, it's like knowing that what I was feeling was so far beyond what was being said to me and what was being projected at me. So I think that's what really gave me that hope. Mm. It really kept that light burning. And knowing that I had, again, coming back to that, knowing that I had that strength and that courage and that I was resilient enough to keep putting one foot in front of the other.
Mm. So how did you end up cracking through all of these businesses and ventures that weren't quite getting as deep as you were yearning for? What brought you deeper to that space?
Oh, well, about 2 years ago, I dove into what I said was going to be my last. I'm like, this is going to be the thing. This is the thing. I'm not doing any other things now. This is the thing. Turns out it wasn't the thing, but that's what I told myself, that this was going to be the thing. And I was going to do whatever it took to make this thing work. And there are so many incredible leaders still to this day in that business that I was a part of. And I remember getting onto these masterclasses and Zoom calls, and I kept hearing them say, you know, just keep doing the inner work, keep doing the inner work. And I sat there thinking, what is inner work? What does that even mean? And I just kept hearing them say it though, and it kept sparking my curiosity, not realizing, of course, that, you know, even though I hadn't quote unquote healed from my experiences, but the experiences I'd had in my 20s where that was very deep inner work. I just hadn't come out the other side of it, if that makes sense. It was still hanging on. It was like dragging the boulders through the mud still, not realizing that all of these things were there and unprocessed properly and unhealed and all those bits and pieces. So I kept hearing them say that. And then there was this one Zoom call or something we were on, and somebody said, "Oh, I've just finished such and such as 8-week online program." And I was like, "Oh, that's what inner work is. It's like an online program. Okay." Oh, the funny things we think when we just don't know. And lo and behold, I think it was in the next week, I happened to jump on, open my Facebook, and I saw this man who was live with Alexi Panos. And I knew who she was. I'd been following her for a little while. I thought, wow, like, if this guy's doing a live with her, that, you know, he must be pretty up there. That must mean something. So I jumped on and started to watch, and it was this amazing man called Jared Grantham, who some of your listeners might know. And I was just captivated by the level of conversation they were having, the things they were talking about, the way they were able to just bounce off one another and keep going and keep exploring these topics. And they were things that, you know, in my little environment, people never talked about that sort of stuff. And so from, again, that depth I was seeking in that moment, it was like this little microcosm of that depth I had been yearning for. I'm like, these are the conversations that I want to have, but no one around me knows, quote unquote, how to have these conversations. You know, no one's open to these sorts of things. And I remember messaging him straight after that. And I just said, "I don't even know who you are. I don't know what you do, but do you happen to have some kind of program happening right now?" And that was it. I did my first online program with Jared and his beautiful partner, Abigail. And straight after that, I invested in some extra one-on-one time with them again, because that depth, I was just like, just take me there. I've been wanting this for years. Like, I was just willing to fully go all the way, to lean all the way in to whatever was there. And straight after that, so this is the part we're waiting for, by the way, everybody. So thank you for getting through that part of the story.
Oh, this is good.
Straight after that program was Abigail had her very first retreat called Awaken the Divine Feminine. And again, I was like, what do you mean awaken the feminine? Like, I am a woman. And that was my understanding at the time. But again, I just knew I had to go. I just knew. I didn't even know what was going to happen at this retreat. I didn't ask for an outline. I didn't ask for any information about it. I just said, how much is it? Here's my deposit. I'll book my flights tonight. I think I booked it 3 or 4 days before it started. And I had, and remember, like, I had 4 little kids at home at this point in time. They would have been 2, 4, 5, and 7, I think. So yeah, I did it. I booked the flight, and I said to my partner at the time, Aaron, who is the father of all my children, I just said, I just have to go to Bali, and I just have to do this. So I did. And that was the first time I dove into true somatic work. So big breath work journeys, dance and movement. And it was the first time I remember after one of our breath and dance sessions that after everyone else had left the room, I was still sitting in the middle of the room, and I just broke down. And the Abigail and Stanzi and Karina, the other facilitators, they all came over to me, and I just completely lost it, because I said, I did not realize how much of myself I had been suppressing. I'd been living, again, you know, this jumping in and out of things and trying and experimenting. It was all coming from trauma-based action. And I was completely in my masculine. I was completely in my head. I wanted to, unknowingly at the time, now I look back, I was like, I wanted to break these paradigms and these limitations that mothers had on themselves, that you know, these ideologies, these identities that society just freely handed out to women as soon as they had a child. It meant X, Y, and Z about you. It means that you can now no longer do X, Y, and Z with your life. And I suppose in all of it, that part of my journey, I suppose, has been to break down those limitations, not just in parenthood, but in so many ways. However, along that journey, I created so many limitations within myself, and I didn't know what it was to operate from my feminine, from flow and from feeling and from my body rather than my mind, and disassociating from my emotion in order to just get things done and hit goals and smash the paradigms and all of those pieces. So that retreat cracked me open to the depth that I knew was within, but I actually felt it. I truly felt it for the first time. And no mistake, of course, at that retreat was the very first time I ever sat with cacao as well. Oh, and little did I know that those couple of hours, you know, if time even exists when you're in a cacao ceremony, but those few hours were going to completely change the trajectory of my entire life as I knew it. So yeah, it was that ceremony, those beautiful soul whispers of this is the medicine you're here to work with, and that you're here to open the hearts of the world once more. So that was the moment when I cracked through all of those ideas and all of those, you know, like you said, the limitations, the opinions of others. It was that retreat and that cacao ceremony that completely smashed it to oblivion, where I truly felt like I actually did see that bigger picture. It wasn't just a felt, you know, oh, there has to be more to this. It was like, there is definitely more to this, and here it is right in front of you.
And that is just like, just absolutely, you can't go back. What's that quote? When your mind expands, and I think also like somatically, like in your body, when you feel these things, you can't go back. Like, you can't forget when you learn these things so intimately. And I wonder, so, and I mean, I've had the pleasure of also being in retreat with such beautiful people, with Jared and Abigail and yourself, and the transformational shifts that occur in these spaces, and then you go back home. And the transformation has happened within and in your space. So how did that look for you with like all of this deep cracking open now to go back to 4 kids and your partner, and how did that work?
Oh, I feel like it's so interesting, isn't it? For me, that retreat, and you know, everybody's experience of whatever work it is they do is entirely uniquely their own. And for me, that retreat, it cracked me open, but it also confirmed for me what I feel like I had bubbling and brewing within me my entire life. Even at school in my teenage years, it was like, you're here for something so much more than this. When I was a teenager, I didn't even understand what that meant. But it was like that retreat just exploded that open. And I was like, I really am not here to live this life that society, just, you know, Western society just expects me to live. So going home, so what I didn't share in that last little piece was that there was another session at that retreat that was an energetic alignment. And again, it's Stanzi just does her magic. I can't even explain what she does, but during that session, again, one these beautiful pivotal pieces that just plop straight into your timeline. She had me, what felt like I was like flying off through the universe, and all I could see was this, the color gold, which is the color of truth. And I kept hearing this message, hearing quote unquote, as in that in beautiful internal voice that just said, move to Bali, it will heal everything. Move to Bali, it will heal everything. And at the time, for a couple of years, my relationship with my partner had been like okay, but it was basically we were just best friends living together. And yeah, that it, I look back at it now and it was like our beautiful contract was just simply up. But again, we had children together and we had a house. So from the outside world, it was like, well, no, you've had children, therefore you're, you know, bound for life. And that's it. But yeah, our beautiful contract was simply up. So during that session, though, I thought it will heal everything meant that it's going to fix my relationship. And this deep soul purpose, this cracking open will all come to fruition and life will make sense. So I went home to my partner and my four beautiful children. I actually flew home and I landed, and I think it was about 8 or 9, I landed at like midnight, and at 10 a.m. the following morning was my daughter's, it must have been her 6th birthday party. So I not only came home to the four children and my partner, but all of our extended family and the people who, you know, the people who had the ideas and opinions of who I should be and what I should, everyone was crammed into this one room 8 hours after I'd got back from this incredible experience where it was like, wow, I'm really not meant for this life. So that was a pretty intense moment. Just for myself to, like you said, when you step out of those really deep experiences, you see the world completely differently. All those veils and lenses, and not all of them, that's probably an exaggeration, I'm getting very dramatic. they've sort of all dropped and lifted, and you can just see things in such a different way. And I remember being in that room and looking at everyone and just thinking to myself, this really is not where I'm supposed to be. So it was that night I said to Aaron what had come through for me at the retreat, and that I wanted for all of us to pack up. I'm like, let's just sell everything we own. I'm like, we've got this online business. We'd closed the plumbing company by that point because this online business at the time was making us enough money. And I was like, let's just do it. The kids are little, you know, and I was just planting all of the seeds, and he was fully on board. He was like, yes. He was like, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. So we sold every single thing we owned, the house, the cars, you know, we rehomed our pets and our animals, all of our furniture. I think we had 2 boxes of like kitchenware and kids' books that we left at his parents in their garage. And we got on a 1-way flight to Bali with 1 backpack each, because we said if we were going to do this, and we didn't have a time frame on it either, it was indefinite. And we said if we were going to do this, we had to be able to just jump on a flight whenever we wanted, like any little domestic flight, with just carry-on baggage to go to our next destination. So everybody had 1 little backpack each, and we had 1 carry-on bag with our laptops so that we could work. And we jumped on the plane and we left. So that was within August, September, 3 months of me returning home from the retreat.
That is an amazing practice in non-attachment. Like, I'm thinking about, you know, just even thinking about, you know, not having like a bed, you know, like it's just like these practices of non-attachment, which I, in so many readings, it says is such a valuable practice. Like, wow, you guys really embrace that.
Probably to the extreme. Yeah. Yes, we did. Yeah, we absolutely did. And for our children as well. You know, again, they were growing up in this society, in this world that was so deeply embedded in consumerism and materialism and technology and so much, everything. When you have, if there's any of your listeners that have children, you probably understand, but the monopoly that the big, you know, things like toy companies have is just astronomical. And it was this, I was watching these kids, my children, as much as I would try, you know, how influenced they were by that and by their friends, you know, to the point where, I sound like such a horrid person when I say this, but, you know, we even got rid of our television for a few years when they were quite little because we hated it. We hated the marketing and the, it was literally like brainwashing. And when they'd been without it for quite a few years, I remember there was one day we went to a friend's place and they had the television on and my kids were glued to it. And it was like, whoa. And it's, Mom, can we get this? Mom, can we get this? And just instantly watching again, just the hold that it has on them. It was instant. It was the minute they first saw something, it was, can we get this? And I was like, you haven't been exposed to that for years. And that is how powerful that advertising is and how targeted it truly is. So in a way, I suppose it was almost like I was trying to bubble wrap them from that for a while they were developing and while their brains were so susceptible, I really wanted to remove them from that. Again, just for them to, a huge purpose behind it was for them to find who they were outside of all of these, again, projections of what society was conditioning them to be and who that was conditioning them to be. I wanted them to find out and truly anchor in and be so certain in who they were while their brains were in that, you know, 0 to 7 year old age bracket where it was developing before they were then exposed to all of that again.
So, and then with that, so leaving everything behind and being in Bali, what ended up occur? Like, how did that end up working out?
Oh, do we say that? Yeah, it did. It absolutely worked out. it was everything that I needed to. I was calling in that depth. I wanted that depth of experience of life, and I wanted to feel, you know, the greatest lows and depths and that grittiness, and I wanted the enormous highs, and I definitely got all of it. And I think my children got all of that as well. So it was 3 weeks into that trip when my partner Aaron and I sat down and we were like, this really is over, isn't it? Like, that actually came from his mouth. He looked at me and he was like, this really is over, isn't it? And we just both burst into tears. And I was like, it really is over. It really is. And we just sat there in this moment of like, it was like disbelief, but at the same time, full belief that what was coming through us at that time was exactly right. It really was over. And, you know, for quite some time, again, it was just this acknowledgement that there was so much deep appreciation and reverence for one another. But in the context of that relationship, it was finished. So we spent some time still traveling and processing that before we told the kids. And then we moved from Bali to Thailand, and he stayed with us for another month to, again, just, you know, be with the kids and get them used to, you know, constantly talking about how, you know, dad's going to go back to Australia. Dad's going to go back to Australia. Mummy and daddy are not together anymore. And really giving them that time and space. So he went back, but I continued traveling because a huge part of that vision was also for our kids. We wanted them to see that there was so much more out there in this world, that there were so many different ways that you could live and that you could, you know, that families could operate, different cultures and religions and food. We just wanted to have them to have such a rich experience of life, again, at a really early age. So I continued to travel by myself with them. So their dad came back and he went back to work. The kids and I lived in Thailand for a few months. Then we moved back to Bali and we had a few trips to Singapore and Malaysia and Vietnam in that time as well. And it truly was, you know, break again. It was everything I asked for. It was, you know, that who was I to live anything less than an exceptional life when my daughter Poppy didn't even get to take a breath. And I feel like that year, as challenging as it was, because anyone who's traveled through Asia knows that, especially Bali, like that is a whole other experience in its own. And we went through everything from having some serious times of financial hardship where we were living in places that were really not ideal. Energetically, some of the places we stayed in were just so susceptible to really interesting experiences unfolding. Bank accounts being hacked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars taken, phones stolen, and it was everything. And on top of that, it was, you know, just me and the kids. So it certainly completely flipped all of our ideas of what life had to look like and what it could look like. That's probably the shortest and yet best description I can give of a whole year in the space of a few minutes.
That's perfect. Yeah, it paints this incredible picture of, yeah, just defying anything that you're told in pursuit of finding your own truth and giving those in your proximity, your kids, the opportunity to also find theirs.
Yes.
So that's it's extremely powerful and something that, yeah, like I can see where that courage that you describe comes in time and time again throughout your story. It weaves in because that's very daunting to pursue what you chose to pursue. So in that space, just coming from this idea of not of blazing a new trail, essentially blazing your own path and really making your own story. Is this something that comes from this exceptional life, or what has drawn you to continue to push the limits that society places on you, whether it be motherhood, or like as you go on in your path? What is that driver?
It's really interesting. Just now, as you've said, you know, that pursuit of this exceptional life, or this living this exceptional life. It's so interesting because I just had this. So I'm just, this is right here right now. So I'm just going to sort of speak it through, because so many of us would attach that idea of an exceptional life to quite maybe quite a cushioned life, quite a luxurious life, and all those things. Whereas for me, this idea of an exceptional life was one that was just as dynamic as I could possibly experience. And I probably should be careful using that word, because God knows what I'm going to call in now, but I feel that right now, just for me personally, what's really unfolding is all of these experiences from, you know, from probably the minute I left high school and you know, the exploration started in becoming a mother and then the passing of my daughter and everything I've talked about on this podcast, I feel that in this moment I am finally the little sprouts are beginning to come up through the soil and it's beginning to make sense as to why I have experienced what I've experienced. And there are these beautiful people coming into my life with that are on their journey in certain places in their own beautiful, unique journeys who in some way, shape or form are seeking some guidance. They're seeking somebody who just understands how they feel, who are also in their own way wanting to create this exceptional life for themselves, however that might look. Because again, using this word exceptional life doesn't even mean one thing. It's whatever it means to you in your journey. And I feel that my driver forward at the moment is something I'm so passionate about, is empowering people to truly tune in to what is true and real for them against everything else that might be around them in any put them into any setting, any environment, and it's this really deep, solid confirmation within themselves of this is who I am. And it's again creating experiences and spaces for them to go into that, to guide them into those places within themselves and to keep going in there, to keep asking the question, because as our journey evolves, that truth will evolve too. And it's not that we change our mind, but as we peel back more layers of ourselves and our experiences and the beliefs we have about ourselves, that, you know, it's giving it breathing space to change and grow with us. So that's sort of my drive forward right now, is more of these beautifully self-empowered people who essentially just, if you think about it, they can stand there and they're like, I know who I am and I know what I'm here to do. That's what's driving me.
So important, like just so vitally important. And you know, I see you post and speak about the role of the mother. And how does that fit into this, you know, this pull for you?
Again, I feel yet another beautiful paradigm in our society that comes with all of those limitations and expectations, like I said earlier. And I feel that it's about, for mothers, again, it's about finding what your truth is when it comes to how you are as a mother. Again, because it's, you know, some people have a really beautiful, soft, tender, gentle, loving, motherly energy, whereas others, there are other women out there, and this is something that there are so many women out there suffering under the weight of the expectations that have been placed upon them to show up in a certain way as a mother, or to be a certain way as a mother, and it is so far from their natural innate ways of showing up in that role. And there's so much guilt placed upon them for that. And again, part of my journey was the children's father came over to Bali at one point and he just looked at me and he was like, I'm taking the kids back to Australia. And I had work in Bali for the next few months and I couldn't leave. And it was a moment where I could have fully reacted and been like, what are you, like, are you crazy? No way. And where, what I realized in a very split second, these thoughts happen so quickly, don't they? Like when we try to voice them, they take so much longer. But then there was this moment of like, that's just what you've been conditioned to believe and respond with, is that because you are the mother of these children, you can't be away from them or they cannot be away from you. I just had this moment of like, oh, and I stopped and I was like, I just looked at him and I said, is that really what you want? He's like, that's what I have to do. He was going through a lot himself at the moment and thinking of being away from the children while he, you know, had to work. It was a lot for him. And I think I could see a little bit more and a bit bigger, and I sort of wasn't in the emotional spiral that he was experiencing at the time. And I said, if that's what you want, like, you know, this is your decision. I'm not making this for you, but if that's what you want, that's okay. So he did. And I spent 3 months in Bali away from my children. And again, something that, yes, it was a choice. And also, instead of reacting and, you know, following old thought patterns and beliefs and going, oh my God, what are people going to think, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you know, taking that moment to actually tune in, look at the situation from a bit of a higher place, looking at, you know, what he needed in that time, what I was here for, you know, at that time, just taking all of the pieces into account. And so I think that for me, spending 3 months away from the children again, just broke down yet another sort of expectation that is placed upon mothers. So again, I just, another depth of like, this doesn't have to look any certain way at any given moment. It can look however it needs to look. And yeah, I just feel that there are so many mothers out there that are suppressing so much of themselves under these beliefs that it has to be a certain way.
So how do you recommend somebody, like, how do you, so part of what this offering is about tuning into how we connect to that space that you're talking about, that inner sanctuary, nourishing ourselves and getting to know that inner voice, tuning into that intuition. And, you know, we work our way up to these larger experiences when we go to retreats and we know when we're ready or called to that. What do you employ to keep in touch, keep in tune, and maybe something that someone else who's really connecting with your story might be able to also try?
Absolutely, yes. This is, oh, how perfect this little story has turned out to be, because that was after coming back from that very first retreat where I first sat with Kakao. Every single day for months on end, I think there was a small space of time in Thailand where I'd run out of cacao. However, for months and months and months on end, every single day I sat in ritual with cacao, in ceremony, sometimes for 1 hour, sometimes for 2 hours. 1 hour was like my bare minimum, like that. And it was a non-negotiable, because for me, it was constantly, despite whatever was happening in my external world, it was always coming back to my truth and my space. And like you said, that inner sanctuary, that space where you, I honestly believe that it was that ritual, that ceremony, the constantly coming back to myself that again actually helped me navigate that situation as well. That deep inner knowing that I could, it was like inside of me, I could see something else that no one else could see. And it continued to give me that confidence and that courage to know that it was true and it was real for me. So I feel that finding something for you that opens that communication, that opens that inner voice, that inner communication, connection to earth, universe, whatever, however it is you receive it, is of the utmost importance. To being, yeah, that's what I've done. And constantly in times of great transition in my life, that's what I've continuously come back to.
Yeah, prior putting yourself first, which oftentimes we're conditioned to believe it's selfish. When in reality, in my personal opinion, it's the greatest gift that we can give to everyone else, because the ripples of what we give to ourselves affect all those who we touch.
Absolutely. Yes.
Is there anything else that you feel called to share? Anything else that you feel needs to be said in this space?
I think I would really love to finish this beautiful story with just a message to those who, like you have just mentioned, maybe are feeling very connected to this story, or are at a space in their life where maybe they are where I was, you know, through all those years of this exploration, this yearning to find something deeper, or this knowing that there was something more for them. That inner voice has more wisdom than anything you'll experience outside of yourself. And that the heart came before the mind, before we even had our brain, our mind, there was a heart already beating. And that is your true innate guidance system before anything else.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your story so openly and in vulnerability and in strength and in courage. I appreciate your time and your energy in this space so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tara. And thank you to everybody who has taken the time out of their lives to tune into this and to receive your beautiful, beautiful work that you're putting out into the world.
Thank you. I so appreciate this opportunity to speak with Tess about her amazing journey thus far and provide a platform to share how she continues to move forward in this inspired way. Please make sure that you go check her out on both Facebook and Instagram. I have links in the show notes. And let me know, how are you enjoying these episodes so far? Do you have someone you want to hear in this space? Do you have a question that you are looking to have answered? Please connect with me on social media. All my links also are in the notes. I am sending you so much love, and I will see you next week. Namaste.